What is really tragic about these shootings is that the mass shootings are actually, if this would be a terror attack, we would have, you know, parliamentary questions in the House of Representatives, because it's a lot of casualties, 11 people, 5 people, 6 people, within the span of 1 week. Incidentally, in one of the federal states that has the strictest gun control laws. So this is not one of the states where, you know, you have a concealed carry license. This is really tightly controlled in California. And still, you have these mass casualty attacks, which really, in my mind, really is an expression of the increasing polarization here. So it seems fairly clear that this is not an extremist motivation per se. So law enforcement is still keeping their cards tied to the chest of what the background is. But it's Asian people shooting other Asian people. So assumption is this is not a racist incident. There is something other behind that. However, what is clear is that there's a lot of pent-up aggression. I mean, you do not go to a dance hall as a 70-year-old and then shoot up equally old compatriots of yours that you've lived with all your life for no reason, unless you have a real problem. If this would be just psychological problems, the fact that you have 3 shootings in just about as many days, how many unlucky coincidences can there happen within the space of 72 hours? So I think we're looking at a deeper problem here. And we see this in Germany with, you know, criminals become more violent, the extremists on the whole becoming more violent. There is a polarization that has taken part in Western societies that goes beyond the extremes. Of course, it helps extremists, but it goes way beyond that. Yeah. The inability to talk to each other, the inability to discuss in a calm way and resolve conflicts via talking without immediately falling into camps and hating each other to the point of feeling the need to shoot each other, as it seems to be the case in this one. And I cannot help but see clear parallels to a new way of communicating, which is designed to hook you, i.e. social media, to hook you into engagement. And in order to do that, categorize you and put you into ever tighter circles of peer groups that are designed to reinforce your already held convictions, strengthen your already held convictions, and therefore increase the impossibility to even accept any ever so slightly different view. Yeah. And I think that's where one of the main problems lie, that we see a marked increase in these incidents. There's always been shootings in a country like the US, where you have such liberal gun laws by and whole in the country. You will always have to live with the fact that there are going to be mass shootings because you have more weapons. Best counterexample, Australia, they had a very liberal gun law. They had a mass shooting. They tightened the gun law. No mass shootings ever in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
A mass shooting, more than 3 victims. So, you know, you will have to live with this. But, I mean, the speed, and I read the statistics this morning, that there were 36 mass shootings since the beginning of the year in the United States. That's more than one a day. That's definitely more than in the past. And that must have more reasons than just, you know, liberal gun laws. It didn't change that much on that front in the last couple of years. Yeah. So this issue that we always come back to, it really is a high price that societies pay for this. Extremely unregulated, liberal, but yet extremely profit-oriented industry that no one seems to be daring to touch in any way, shape, or form.
Hans, what's aside from the label, what's different between these attacks and the attacks that you see people that are basically conducting terror attacks? What's the difference?
Well, a terror attack always has a ideological message. So you do, when you look at, you know, mass shootings conducted by Islamist terrorists or violence meted out by violent right-wing extremists or domestic terrorists, as you call them in the United States, the act is the message. So the fact that you harm, maim, or kill people is not because you hate the individuals personally. It's because you want to create chaos, create fear, change things, drive government into overreaction in part. That's also part of the strategy, at minimum, of some Islamist organizations who very purposefully perpetrate these attacks. And that's why, you know, this, you know, effect that you have these lone actor attacks not being seen as a problem by organizations like Al-Qaeda or the Islamic States, Islamist State, who started out wanting to conduct very spectacular attacks, such as the 9/11 or the Bataclan shooting on the Islamic State side. They don't have a problem that they can't pull these things off, because lots of these smaller, in inverted comma, attacks bring governments to ever tighten laws, to restrict freedoms of the individuals and the citizens, and therefore have the same effect that the, you know, big attacks have, without much less of a drawback, because you're not going to have something like the war on terror on a shooting that kills five people, or even the horrible Pulse nightclub attack, right? That didn't change the law. 9/11 did. So the costs are much lower. The benefits are pretty much the same in the end. So this is where the message is in the act.
Okay.
The shootings here in California, I would, from all that was reported so far, seems to have been a real personal grudge, if only towards your peer group. I cannot imagine that the guy, the first shooter who killed 11 in a dance club, hated all of the people in the dance club. But certainly he targeted his own Asian American community that he lived with all his life. So there was some anger, obviously, towards his own community. No message, simply rage.
Hans, something that I heard a little earlier today about this individual indicated that he was a dance instructor at this place. And
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He had not problems with his students per se, but perhaps problems with other people that worked there. And this takes me back to something you were saying a little earlier in our conversation. I've got a couple of quick questions before we run out of time. He basically had this issue with people. Somebody said he just did not like people. You said a little earlier, you talked about polarization, and we often think about it in terms of race, politics, or something concrete like that. But it seems to me what you're talking about here is this gradual degree by degree turn of humanity away from civilization. And how do you get back there?
That's very hard to do, because, I mean, we have, first time in the history of humanity, a situation where you, if you choose to do so, and technology makes it easy and actually pushes you in that direction, you only talk to people that are 100% of your opinion. Whatever absurd opinion you may hold, in the past, without social media and the internet, if you had some wacky conspiratorial idea, until you actually found someone that held the same beliefs, it was a real effort. You had to go to conventions, to meetings, you had to travel. Now, all you do is you turn on your computer, and Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok, the algorithm helps you to find it. A very concrete case. We worked very hard and tried to convince one of the big social media companies in Germany to remove from their platform the account of the most famous right-wing extremist musical festival that is held every year. They had an account, they were advertising that the festival was going on. The reach was global because it was a global platform. It was ideal. Free advertisement, no costs to the right-wing extremist organizing the festival. So after more than a year of discussion, my colleagues were able to convince the German version of the platform to remove that account. Couple of weeks later, we took a clean, not connected to our IP address laptop from a different location, logged in to test whether it was actually removed, and searched for the name of that festival, Kampf der Nibelungen. What then the platform algorithm did, it said, this account no longer exists. However, here are some suggestions of what might interest you. And it was not a de-radicalization site, it was not an advice site, it was not an academic site. It pointed to the second most prominent right-wing extremist festival. automatically. No one in Facebook or any of the other platforms did anything. Simply the algorithm understood that we were looking for a violent right-wing extremist, Muzi, first of all, that we actually looked for no longer existed, but there were other violent right-wing extremist German music festivals that the algorithm automatically suggested to us. So I don't even have to make an effort to keep in my peer group. The way these platforms are set up is to make you as the user happy and stay on the platform by giving you what you want, not confronting you with uncomfortable other opinions, not broaden your horizon, narrow your horizon. So if I am a QAnon follower, 20 years ago, this would have been requiring a lot of effort. I would have to set up to, you know, potentially as other conspiracy theories in the past, you know, be on a mail chain to receive mail. I would have to go to a convention. Now I go online, I search for QAnon, automatically algorithms understand that's what I'm interested in. And I get suggested. If I don't actively search for it, my suggested readings will lead me further down the rabbit hole. And I honestly, I cannot help feel that that is one of the reasons why, including in Europe, where platforms are a little bit better regulated in the United States, where they're not regulated at all, it is getting really difficult to have conversations with people without a lot of pent-up anger bubbling up. We had this to an extent that there is a completely new category of extremism in Germany called the delegitimizers. Because it's now longer not just classical right-wing extremists. And we talked about this Reichsbürger movement a couple of weeks ago in December when they were arrested, some of them. It got so big that we had to create, or that the intelligence service, in order to manage all of this, had to create a completely new category of extremism, something unheard of. I mean, there was, for years and years and years, we had left-wing extremism, right-wing extremism, Islamist extremism. Now we have four categories. Because polarization is so much that it's now actually no longer a classic right-wing category. It's the category of people who just don't like the government and would like to violently remove it.
Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. JJ Green, WTOP News.